Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to come together here in this church and to worship you, Lord God. We know many cannot go to church, or they're in the house churches and hidden churches throughout the world because they are the martyred Christians. But here we are in the United States of America, and we thank you that at this day and time, we can still worship you freely. We thank you, Lord God. And we pray it will always be so. And so, Holy God, as we have come together here as a church, we ask you to speak now. Speak, Lord God, for we're listening. We need to hear a word from you. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Each individual one of us, have our own needs and our own desires and our own joys and happiness. So speak to each of us, Lord God, individually, and then speak to us as a church collectively. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on the submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord God. You are our refuge and our strength. You are Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And today my sermon title is Be Salt and Be Light. I read an article that says, and I don't think I could use this. I forgot to charge it, I think. Yes, I read an article that said, where is the church? Where is the church? And the writer says, you know what your own country is like. I'm a visitor, and I wouldn't presume to speak about America. But I know what Great Britain is like, says the writer. I know something about the growing dishonesty, corruption, immorality, violence, pornography, the diminishing respect for human life, and the increase in abortion. Whose fault is it? Let me put it like this. If the house is dark at night, there is no sense in blaming the house. That's what happens when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where is the light? If meat goes bad, there is no sense in blaming the meat. That is what happens when the bacteria are allowed to breed unchecked. The question to ask is, where is the salt? If society becomes corrupt, like a dark night or a stinking fish, there's no sense in blaming society. That's what happens when fallen human society is left to itself and human evil is unrestrained and unchecked. The question to ask is, where is the church? Because the church is called to be salt and light. And we are the church. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. You know, we sing that song. The church is a people, you and me. Imagine you've been following Jesus of Nazareth from place to place to hear him teach. And you want to know, what does he expect of you? What thrilling words of commission will this thrilling man of peace give to you to treasure in your heart? One day on a hill near the Sea of Galilee, you and many other Jesus followers gathered to learn from him at Lent. You see, Jesus was teaching throughout that area, Sea of Galilee, and people, when you look at the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at the Beatitudes, that's a whole series of teaching Jesus was. He was a great teacher, certainly a great preacher, but a great teacher. And that whole section that we have been going through, beginning with the Beatitudes, it's from chapter 5 to about 7, could it be up to 8, is all Jesus is teaching on different things that he knows will face us, right? And face the crowd around him. So they're following him. So one day on a hill near the Sea of Galilee, you and many other Jesus followers gathered to learn from him at Lent. At one point in this Sermon on the Mount, it's called, Jesus looks directly at you, fixes his gaze with yours, and says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Let your light shine." Wouldn't you ask Jesus, what does he mean by that? And as we see on that slide, and then I may have to ask the men to move it up, the next one. As you see on the slide, it says, you are the salt of the earth. That means we're not the salt of just one little spot, right? One little corner. It's the earth. And then he says, you are the light of the world. All right, that means it's not just one little corner that we are the light. Next slide, and let me try this. Oh, yes, they're doing it for me. All right, and then he goes on. He says, again, you see this when the Bible opens up, and he says, you are the light of the world. Again, showing us that imagery of the Bible open up, which is the word of God, and then the light, and then the salt shaker, reminding us again that we have to be salt and light. Next slide. Now, one would say, what are the key points in being salt and light, right? What are the key points? What does it mean being salt and light? Is Jesus talking about, listen, Christian believers, friends? Sometimes we come to church and we're very critical of everything we see. Maybe the screen went black and, you know, it's technology. And we all know that technology breaks down, right? This is not a science, and even science fall apart, right? We know that it isn't, but we'll be critical of it. And we will make sure we keep a note of it and we make a comment. Right? That's not salt. That's not what Jesus is saying. You are the salt of the earth. Doesn't mean that when we critique in church at every move, right? Because we become what? Spectators, and then everything. We have a tendency not to talk about the good that goes around, but the one moment that there's something that doesn't go the way we want it, we critique. We never see the glass half full. We see the glass half empty. We may critique the music. Lord knows we critique the pastor. We critique the meetings. We critique whatever. That is not being salt. When the world is suffering and dying, that's not being salt and light. That's not what Jesus expects of us. To be salt and light. And so we want to understand what Jesus is speaking here. The energy that we use in the church on little things. Can you imagine if we're using that energy out in the world to save souls, to be salt and light, The amount of energy, do you know that we put a lot of energy in getting this service together every week? And everything may not be perfect, right? All day yesterday, we were back and forth running in here trying to figure, is the heat coming up, is not coming up? What's wrong with it? Trying to make sure it's warm when you get here. I ran in here. Poor Ron ran in here. I'm calling Zam, is the heat up? What are we going to do? Is your oil? Just because we know that you're coming. At 11:45 last night, the kids were here, some of them. I came down from my house, came across here in my nightgown. Poor Doc, when he looks at the thing, with my head wrapped, just to check the light, the heat, to say, maybe I have to push it up some more. Because we want it to be right. So yet when somebody comes in on a Sunday and they says, well, the place is so cold, do you think we left it here on purpose? We want to work and we want to do what the Lord has called us to do. Because we love you and we care about the church. And we want to serve Jesus. So when we make a mistake or something happens, please know it's not intentional. We're serving God we're being intentional in serving God. But we're not being intentional to hurt our fellow members. Nancy come on a Saturday and she plays. She goes over the songs by herself in here to make sure she's going to do her best. May not be perfect to somebody and may not be perfect to somebody else, but she comes in, I know, every Saturday to try to do her best. And we want folks to use their energy to be salt and light in the world. In the world. Because Lord knows we are doing our best to be salt and light. Now, here are key points. Salt has two purposes in the Middle East of the first century. As it says here, because of the lack of refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat, which would spoil quickly in the desert. So Jesus here wants to show us how important salt is. Christian believers, you are important to the spreading of the gospel. So am I, all of us, right? To the spreading of the gospel. Next point. Next slide, friends. Believers in Christ are preservatives to the world. We are the preservatives, preserving it from the evil inherent in society. How do we do that? We are the preservers because what are we going to do? We're going to be acting the way Christians ought to act in the world. And we're going to be doing things in the world that others can emulate because what? We're followers of Jesus Christ. That's how we're salt. We want to be able to preserve good. Christians living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and in obedience to Christ will inevitably influence the world for good. No matter what happens, we want to stand up in truth and in the love of Christ. We cannot let our political ideology and our complaints block our vision from the Lord. God said, I do not like a complaining people. He said to Moses, go serve, go do, go make it better. Christians, we have got a very important job because Jesus Christ is depending on us to be salt and light. Next slide. Now here is it. When you're salt, where there is strife, we are to be peacemakers. When there is strife, we are to be peacemakers. We should not be joining the gang and carrying on, writing terrible things on Facebook about each other and fighting. We must be peacemakers and always be writing a word of peace, a word of love. If many of you have seen my page on Facebook, I have never, the things I read and I think is horrible, but I've never been tempted to write something terrible. I write a position, but I don't spend my Facebook time doing that. I always write, take the time to read and reflect what I'm going to put up on Facebook to touch the heart of someone. We have a responsibility to be salt and light. Where there is sorrow, we are to be the ministers of Christ, binding up wounds. Now, you know that I know I'm the pastor of this church, and I've been ministering a long time, but one of the gifts that God has given me has been for a long time, even before I was ordained, is in visiting the sick. Always I've been, even when I was in corporate and I was a part-time pastor. I remember on a Sunday when I was at a big church in Brooklyn, a big Methodist church service. We had two big services, and then we'd be done like at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and I would be from that time 1 till sometimes 7 at night, because they had a long list, visiting the sick to bring communion to them, wanting to be light. I remember visiting this woman who had, the one that cripples you, multiple sclerosis, right, I think it's called. And she was young enough. She wasn't an old person. And I started visiting her. And it had already now started. She could barely speak. But she waited for me every first Sunday. And I remember one day as I was giving her the communion, a little bit, giving her the communion, I thought to myself, Lord, let this not happen to me. But it gave me such joy in my heart to be able to do it. And so when our friend Marilyn's daughter called her son-in-law and told me I was not going to go out because it was very cold, and told me that he doesn't think Gil looks all that good. And he says, I'm not a doctor, I'm a lawyer, but I don't think he looked good. I thought, you know what? That was on Tuesday, and we had the meeting. I thought, I'm not going to wait, because I'd like to see him. I'm not going to wait. I wanted to be light. I wanted to be that light for him that moment. When I went up there, Marilyn wasn't in her room, and I couldn't, she probably was eating or somewhere. And good at that moment, he was talking a little bit, and he knew me. And I says, Pastor Gil, and he says, yes, I say, you want to eat? And you could see in his eyes and his body that I did tell the group that I told the family that he's traveling. We say that back home. You know, we know that people are going. You don't know when, but you could see it. His eyes were sunken. And I always carry a little bottle of oil, anointing oil. And I anointed his head. And I prayed over him. And I said the 23rd Psalm. And as I was saying, that verse that says, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I says, Lord Jesus, as you're taking him home, let it be quick. Do not let him suffer if it's your will. Because I want it to be light for him. Not because it's my job. No. Because I love him. And I represent Christ in the world as a human being. And then when they called and said he had passed on Thursday, and the son-in-law said, her daughter Susan is kind of weary because she's planning the service. Is there any way you could get up there again? And I said, yes, I will. And that freezing day, I went up and I sat with Marilyn for 2 hours. And it was a pleasure. I'm sharing this with you because it was a joy to bring comfort to her. Because we are salt and light. And that is not just me. It's any of us. Any and all of us can visit the sick. Any of us or all of us can do whatever we need to do for Christ in the world. Because it's not always about us. It is about the people we serve for Christ. So when there's sorrow, we are ministers of Christ binding up wounds. When people are weeping and in pain, because when our time comes, we are going to want somebody to be there for us, to hold our hands, to pray with us. When we are salt of the earth, where there is hatred, we are to exemplify the love of God in Christ, returning good for evil, because we are salt of the earth, friends. Next slide. And now in the analogy of the light, the good works of Christ, Christ's followers, are to shine for all to see. Our light, if we have Christ living in us, friends, our light should be shown for all to see. And how does our light shine? Do we walk around with a lamp on top of our head? No. But our light shines because we make every effort to do what is right and good. Even sometimes when we can't stand somebody or we don't like them, you know what? We go on our knees before God and we pray to God and says, God, you love them for me, and then help me to love them. God, you love them for me because I can't find it in my heart, and then the Holy Spirit, help me to love them. Help me to treat them better, because we are light. The presence of Christians in the world must be like a light in darkness. See, many of these people who are killing and shooting and carrying, the light is missing. Where is the church of Jesus Christ? Our good deeds as Christians must be evident for all to see. And not just for the people we like in this church when we sit. Not for the people here. For those outside. You know, I'd like to put a word out there to Christian believers here. Missy said to me the other day, you know, she has been teaching Sunday school for a long time, and at least in the 10 years that I've been here, she has been in charge. I think a little bit Karen was before, and then she was she and Karen, but she has been. And she said to me, I'm weary, and I'm done, I'm finished. That's to lead Sunday school, right? That means she prepares the curriculum, and she gets the kids, and she puts them, and she and Helen. She says, I don't think I could do it anymore. Last year she had told me that, and I asked her, please, don't do it. Don't, you just give me another year. Well, friends, we're going to need, so that we could be light of the world, we're going to need somebody in this church to step up to be light to those children. I know the comment was made about me and the little kid is here, but let me tell you something. That may be the only thing they get, because here's the deal. Somebody will have to step up to be a Sunday school teacher, to run it, to be light for those children. Because if it doesn't happen, there'll be no Sunday school. Who's going to be light for those children and salt? Who's going to manage Sunday school come September? I'm still working on her. But who's going to do it? And let me tell you something. A church without Sunday school is a church that is going what? Going down. Church without young people and families bringing their children, these precious children. If I spend 5 minutes or 7 minutes with these little children, the most I've ever spent sometimes, except when the little ones get run around, maybe 6 minutes, it's because I want to encourage them and their parents to bring them. That's the reason. Because if not, it'd be one less thing for me to do. And I'm not a slave, so I could take it out and don't do it. But I know what the Lord would do to me, what he has called me to do. And he has called me to take care of these children and take care of the grown-ups So I'm putting out a word to you all, Christian believers. Start thinking now. Who is going to be that person who's going to say, I can do it. I'm going to run the Sunday school. Because we're salt of the earth and light of the world. And I'm not asking you to go out and give out pamphlets. But we're going to need help in that area. And what's going to happen? That has always been my challenge. Karen could tell you. Karen was here doing it, and then after we start losing teachers and whatever and happened, how difficult it is to get Sunday school going. And Missy has been doing it single-handedly, which of course Missy and Ellen after Karen had left. So who's going to do that? I says, we ask the Lord to grow the church. And when the Lord answers and sends little children, we better welcome them fully into our midst. Because the Lord won't send them. The Lord will not send them. We better welcome them fully and be ready. Because we need young families with children. We have to be salt and light. And as I close, Jesus says, you, this is from the scriptures, you are the light of the world, you and me. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Next slide. Let your light shine before everyone in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The last slide, men. Friends, be these, friends. We are supposed to be these, salt and light. And I want us to begin to be salt and light right here in this church. We need help in Sunday school. I'm laying the groundwork. We need it, and it's going to be come September. And somebody can figure out what they're going to do with Sunday school. Because we and come to me and let me know so we can plan it by the time June comes. Because it may happen that the only thing these children get is a few minutes that I talk to them here, and then they go sit with their parents. And friends, think about that. How long is that going to last? These children are precious to us. I'm asking you all, somebody to serve, so that Missy can take a break that she deserves. She says she's very disillusioned. She can't get anybody to assist her. She can't get anybody to train to assist her. They come up and they assist, but they're not assisting to take over. Let us be salt and light, friends. We need the children here. So God is calling you and me to do what God expects us to do. Amen.